enjoying conference so far? Who feels that they've been filled a little bit and now you can go out and go and bless? That's what we're looking at doing. We want to fill our cup so that we can go and bless. How good is God? How good is God? Well, today we have Pastor Sam Monk from Auckland, New Zealand. And, you know, I know lots of people. There's lots of people that I could invite and come and speak. But I've wanted Pastor Sam to come for a long time. And because Pastor Sam is a very unique individual. He's someone who has got this sense of just got to bless. I've just got to get the kingdom to be bigger. Out of their church in New Zealand, they've established 60 churches in 18 countries. You can do better than that. 60 churches in 80 countries. That's fantastic. The Bible says you got to look at the fruit of someone's life. So why don't you stand and let's give a great cheer as Pastor Sam comes and speaks a great word. God bless you.
Come on, let's give Jesus a big clap of praise right now. Come on, does anybody love Jesus in this place? That's why we've all gathered on a Saturday morning. See all the good-looking people showed up to church this morning, is that right? How many are standing next to somebody good-looking? Just lift up your hand if you are. Just lift up your hand if you're standing next to somebody good-looking. If the person next to you didn't lift their hand, say, get your hand up, get your hand up. Why is your hand down? It's so good to be here. Man, don't you love your pastors? Incredible people. Come on, can you put your hands together for them? Also, the team that have put on this amazing conference. Yeah. $2 breakfast this morning, lunch this afternoon, dinner later on. And I pray God's word is going to feed each and every one of us. And we're going to go out different. We're going to go out with courage in our hearts to take on everything that God has for us. How about just throwing your hands in the air right where you are right now? We thank you, Holy Spirit, you're here. You dwell in the praises of your people. And just as we've praised you this morning, Lord, you're here. And I pray you come and make yourself known to every heart and to every life. Come. Do what only you can do. We don't want to hear human words this morning. We want your word, your seed, to be deposited into our lives. Lord, they will position us for everything that you're wanting to release in this next season, but also in the years to come. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness to us. Lord, you've been so faithful, and we give you honor and praise for that. Lord, and from your faithfulness, Lord, today we can launch out in faith and believe you again. We love you today. We honor you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. And somebody said, amen, amen, amen. Wow, so amazing. How about you give somebody a high five before you take your seat? Give them a high five. Say, I'm glad to be sitting next to you. Amazing, amazing. Well, what a communion word that was as well. Just standing on the front row in worship, I heard the Spirit of God say that this church is about to have a whole lot of babies. I felt the Holy Spirit drop that in my spirit, and I felt God say he's going to confirm it with people who have struggled to conceive in the past. This is a time where you're going to get pregnant. But I believe in this place, not just naturally, but spiritually, people are going to go out of this space, out of their time together, and they're going to be pregnant with vision. Come on, how many can believe that? Pregnant with vision, that God's going to just release something in people's hearts that is going to set them up for the next season. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is a setup. This is a setup. You've been set up by God in this place. And I am from New Zealand. Some people call it the seventh state of Australia. But I like to think of Australia as the West Island of New Zealand. We've got the North, the South, and our West Island. Right now in New Zealand, it's approaching 2 o'clock, just coming up to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. New Zealand is the first place to see the sun. So I like to think of myself as being from, when I travel, being from your future. Because Saturday morning's already been and gone in New Zealand. So I'm from your future, and I'm here to tell you it's about to get really good in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, the Broncos supporter. Yeah, come on, represent. It's your time. Up the wars for 2026, but... I really believe God is about to release something that we've never seen before. What's happening right around the world right now is incredible, and I'm amazed what God's doing. Who would have thought from New Zealand we'd be able to plant churches in Europe, in places like Italy, Germany, the UK, city Budapest. Recently, we just launched 2 weeks ago a church in Braga, which happens to be in Portugal. And been sowing that seed for some time, and we had 210 people come out to our first service, of which 15 people gave their heart to Jesus. I really believe, yeah, give God a big clap of praise for that. I'm just amazed at what God's doing, God's faithfulness, God's goodness, and who would have thought from New Zealand? New Zealand's a small country. We have more sheep than we have people. I know you Aussies making a lot of jokes about that, but it is true, it is true. And, you know, sometimes you go around and you preach in different places around the world and people go, oh, where's New Zealand? They go, is it part of Australia? I go, no, we are our own country. We are our own country. In fact, one time there was a map of the world on the back wall of the church. And somebody said, oh, where are you from? I said, oh, New Zealand. They go, oh, is that part of Australia? I said, no, no. And I went to point out on the map, you know, this map of the world on the back wall. I went to point out where New Zealand was. And do you know, New Zealand wasn't even there. But how many know what others have discounted and overlooked? Hey, God's chosen to use. And I'm just thankful that God would use me in any capacity. And I'm so thankful that I get to serve God. I've got 3 daughters. Pray for me. Even my cat was a female, has since passed away. So I was surrounded by females. I often say, I know why God created Adam first. It was so he had a chance to speak. I don't get a chance to speak at home. That's why they're going to send me away to unleash all my words. So these are some of my first words for 2025. It's like, hey. But get to serve God together. In fact, my second daughter, my oldest one got married last year. My second daughter is having a bridal shower right now. And she gets married in a month's time. And then we've got one 17-year-old. And we just count it a privilege and honor to serve God. And count it an honor to be invited anywhere. And so thanks to the pastors, the team, and this environment. Man, you've got a good thing going on here. And God's about to position you, I really believe, for an incredible season. Babies. Get ready for babies. God's going to entrust, and I believe just to Mark and Nina, you've been so faithful. God's seen your faithfulness. You've been faithful with what God's put in your hand. And I believe this next season, he's going to entrust you much more than even you want. But you're not to fear, because God's going to give you the capacity to handle it. And even your health challenge, you know, with that could bring fear, but God's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the foresight to handle what he's about to entrust to you. And it's so much more than what you currently are thinking about. Yeah, you want to increase, but not at this level. And I just feel this next season is going to be a season of increase and a season of God's blessing. And you're not to worry, because you're not going to have to handle it all by yourself. God's entrusted to you sons and daughters who are going to carry the load and carry what God's put within your heart. And so I believe there's just a renewed strength coming to your life. And even where you felt weak, I felt the Spirit of God would say, you're stronger than you think you are. You're stronger. What you've survived, what you've been through, there's a strength in you. And that strength is going to carry you in this next season. And it's going to actually be of a great deal of encouragement to many other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, if you believe the word of God, let's give him a big hand. All right, how many blessed people in this place? Today, I don't want to preach a sermon as much as impart a revelation. And I believe it's so important that you and I live with vision. Many of us know Proverbs 29, verse 18, without vision, the people perish. I like how the Message version puts it. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, I pray you can see what God's doing right now. Because if people can't see what God's doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Come on, we are a blessed people. God is working. God is doing incredible things. We don't need to stumble over ourselves. We just need to attend to what God is doing. And I really believe in this time is God is raising up some Davids. Some Davids who can take on Goliaths. Many of us know the story of David and Goliath. I'm going to preach from that this morning. You know, I grew up in church. You know, I saw the flannel graphs. Anybody remember the flannel graphs? Saw the stick figures. Goliath really big. David small shepherd boy against this big giant. The underdog takes out the giant. You know, incredible story. It's amazing today. You can do stuff on AI. You can put descriptions, biblical descriptions of what they might have looked like into AI, and AI comes up with a little bit of a picture of what it could have actually looked like. And so on screen, there's going to come a video behind me of what this David and Goliath setting could have looked like, what David and Goliath could have looked like. I don't know if it's going to come up on screen, but if it could, right now, yeah, here, we've got David. Look at Goliath. He's one big dude. He's also jacked, man. He's somebody you don't want to mess with. And sometimes we look and we think of the story and we think, oh, he's tall, he's big. But no, this guy was almost like superhuman. And here we've got a shepherd boy who's got his confidence in God. He looks at this giant and he says, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? Who are you to defy the armies of the living God? And he had a revelation, David had a revelation that what was in front of him wasn't just defying him, it was defying God. And I love this story because there's so much in it. I'm going to just read one verse to you this morning. It comes from 1 Samuel 17, verse 48. Listen to this one verse. Verse 48, it says, and the Philistine, Ben Goliath, moved closer to attack him. And David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. If you want a title for today's message, it is Run Towards It. Run Towards It. Who did he run towards? He ran towards Goliath, this giant. Goliath, up to this point in time, had been intimidating the Israelites day after day. He'd get dressed, he'd get ready, and the Israelites, they would get dressed and they'll get ready, and they'll meet each other at the battle line. But the Israelites would day after day go home in fear because of Goliath. Now we know Goliath personifies the spirit of intimidation. And I believe the spirit is operating in a whole lot of our lives and we don't even know it. It holds us back from actually entering into that thing that God has called us to. See, the Israelites, they'll get dressed for battle. They'll put their armor on. They'll get their swords only to arrive at the battle line and not fulfill that which they're called to. I wonder how many Christians call themselves Christians, look like Christians, speak like Christians, but don't fulfill the function of a Christian. See, I believe the function of a Christian is to take on big things, to take on giants. Life presents them to us all the time. Obstacles, fears, challenges, some things that just seem impossible to overcome. And the reality is, many of us, we choose to avoid our giants, hoping they'll disappear, just hoping they'll go away. But this message is to encourage somebody today to stop dancing around what you're born to defeat. You've been dodging your giant. You've been sidestepping your giant. And some of you have been waiting for God to move it, but could it be that God's waiting on you to face it? And I love this because David ran quickly towards the giant. David faced it head on and he trusted God for victory. Notice this. David didn't walk. He didn't crawl.
he ran towards it, not around it, but at that thing. So you've got to hear me today. When God wanted a king, he didn't send David a crown. He put Goliath in front of him. And some of us right now, we look at the things in front of us and we think they're going to be the means of our defeat. But could it be that obstacle in front of you right now is actually the source of your growth? God put it in front of you so you could develop, so you could grow, so that you could learn to trust him to take out those things in your life. You know, some years ago, I've got three siblings. We're all born a year apart. So my parents had four children in 4 years, which meant there was a lot of competition in our household. And one of the things we liked doing was bouncing on trampolines. And my sister was over. We're growing up. We've all had kids. And she was bouncing on our trampoline out in the backyard. And I said to her, "Why don't you do a backwards flip?" And she goes, "No, I haven't done one of those for years." I said to her, "Ah, you can do it." She goes, "No, I can't. I'm 50 and I've had four children. I can't do it." I said, "Yes, you can. I believe in you. You can do it." And so she bounced once, she bounced twice, and then she goes, "No, I can't." And this went on and on. You know, I was encouraging her, trying to draw out potential, the potential in her. You know, I go, "Come on, you can do it." And she bounced once, bounced twice, and, "No, I can't do it. Can't do it." I got tired of this. So I zipped up the net of the trampoline and I went and got the garden hose. And I said to her, "If you don't do it this time, if you don't do it this time, this hose is going on." So she bounced once, she bounced twice. The third time, she flipped over, landed on her feet. She unzipped the trampoline. She ran inside, found her kids. She goes, "Your mom still got it. Your mom still got it, 50 years old, still could do a backwards flip, landed at a street." But how many know that flip would have never happened if there wasn't a garden hose? Could it be right now the thing that is in front of you is the thing that God wants to use to draw out your potential? And you've been avoiding it, but God's saying you need to face it. What's that one thing in your life that you keep putting off? Not because you don't know what to do, but just because it feels too big to face. Come on, that difficult conversation. Some of you right now, it's like you're stuck in a job and you're thinking about changing career, but you've done nothing about it. Maybe making an inquiry. Maybe it's right now, you're in debt and you don't even want to look at your bank balance. It's like, "Man, I don't even want to look at that because I'm scared." So every time you pay wave, you pray. "Please let it be approved. Let it be approved." It's like you're avoiding something. Maybe right now it's an addiction that you've just accepted. "Well, that's part of my life. My parents suffered with it. That's just going to be my lot." You know, maybe it's a mental health issue. It could be many different things. Or maybe it's just something God's been prompting you to do, but you haven't got around to it yet. And instead of moving towards it, what you've been doing is you've been avoiding it. Now a lot of people in this place would say, "Sam, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. It's just like, I don't have the time right now. It's not the right time." And what we do is we call it timing, but really it's avoidance. And I'm here to say, stop avoiding what God's anointed you to conquer. Some of you have been negotiating with a giant, negotiating in an area that God told you to annihilate. And here's the thought. Avoidance doesn't eliminate the giant. It prolongs the fight. And could it be the reason why you feel tired and burnt out is simply because you have been avoiding this thing for a long time? And what avoidance does, it prolongs the battle and ultimately it empowers the enemy. Goliath, for 40 days, 40 days came out. Every day he grew stronger. Every day he grew more confident. But I want to declare this is day 41. Day 41. And David... come on, the spirit of David is about to be released into people's lives. Because God's anointed you to take out that thing. And I love David because David, this teenage boy, ran towards what everybody else was running away from. Sadly today, you know, many of us have issues, and in today's society, it's normal just to make peace with your issue. You know, make peace with it. Just accept it. But God says, no, you're blessed. You're blessed. Come on, you have the creator of the universe living on the inside of you. And it's time to run towards that thing. Today, quickly, I've just got five thoughts if we're going to run towards it. You ready for this? Just turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to run towards it. It's time to run towards it. It's time to go after. Come on, Emerge Church. We're going to go after some things in Jesus' name. I believe you get what you go after. Come on, if you don't believe, ask God to heal you. You may never experience it. But if you believe, you ask. We serve a God who doesn't turn us away, who wants to answer our prayer. But we've got to run towards it. First thought is, number one, is you can't conquer what you're comfortable avoiding. You can't conquer what you're comfortable avoiding. Every promise I've found in God, every promise, you got giants that you have to overcome to take hold of that promise. It was the case with the Israelites. They were called to the promised land. This promised land was full of giants, and many were intimidated by the size of the giants. They said, the land is good. Moses sends out 12 spies and 10 come back and say, that the land's good. It's amazing, but there are giants there. Right now, that place of promise for you. There's giants in that space. And God's waiting for you to grow big enough in your heart and in your spirit and in your trust of Him to go in and possess that space which giants currently occupy. God's called you to it. And it comes down to how we see things. Yeah, 10 spies came back with a negative report to Joshua and Caleb. We know that. They had a positive report, and they were the two that possessed the promised land. Do you know there's many people in church today, they stand on the edge of their promise, but they never possess it. In fact, many churchgoers today, they'll live their whole Christian life in the wilderness, just seeking their need for their needs to be met. You know, if your needs are met, that's promised land living. But I believe God is raising up a generation of people who say, I'm not going to stand on the edge of my promise. I'm going to possess my promise. Come on, if the Spirit of God is in me, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and He's the one who gives life to my mortal body, I can't be stopped. And God wants to build a church, number one, that can't be ignored. Number two, can't be explained. So many people go, well, how you planted 60 churches around the world? I can't tell you how we've done it because God's done it. God's, I can't explain what's happened. God's at work. And number three, can't be stopped. But it's going to take some people to get God's perspective. See, the Israelites, when they looked at the promised land, in Numbers 13, it says, we explored the land. And we explored, and it devours those living in it. All the people there are great in size. They're giants. We saw the giants. And get this, they said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. Israel had an opportunity to enter the promised land. But because they looked at it through the wrong lens, a lot of them missed out. They looked at the giants and their perspective shrank. Listen to this. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Notice the giants didn't tell them they're grasshoppers. They told themselves that. They didn't lose to the giant. They lost to the mirror. They lost to their own reflection. Sometimes right now, our problems aren't the giants. It's actually the internal image of us. See ourselves. If we see ourselves as insignificant and insecure all the time and continually, you know, just battling to stay alive, that's what we'll live out. The Bible says as a person thinks in their heart, so they are. In fact, one person said it like this. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. What lens are you looking through? Because one thing I've found is avoidance gives fear a microphone. Yeah. And here's the thing we've got to remember. The longer you stare at the giant, the bigger it's going to get in your mind. You've been staring at it for too long. And what avoidance does is it magnifies fear and you sleep on it And eventually what happens is you start telling yourself stories that aren't even true. You say, oh, I could never do that. And some of us, we even get to a place where we call it a personality trait. Well, it's just the way I am. And we call it a personality trait, but God calls it a stronghold. And he wants to break that stronghold. That's not who you are. That's not who God made you to be. You know, I grew up as a shy, insecure pastor's kid. You know, battled with insecurity. How many, from time to time, battle with insecurity? You can lift up your hand. Just, okay, I'll wait for the insecure people to lift up their hand. It's like, I don't want to acknowledge that. I don't want to own that. It's like, yeah, what am I owing to? I grew up as insecure, but God had to speak to me. And he said, Sam, you know your insecurity. Your insecurity is actually rooted in pride. I go, hey, how's that? He goes, well, you know when you feel insecure, he goes, who are you thinking about? You're thinking about yourself. And as long as your eyes are on yourself, I can't do what I've called you to do. If you put your eyes on me and what I can do, if you'd humble yourself, because God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Come on, some of us, oh, I feel insecure, I feel insecure. Tell yourself, stop being proud. Who are you to deny God? Who are you who has a big God living on the inside of you? Who are you to serve a big God and have a small dream? Who are you to say what God can do and what God can't do? Come on, I really believe some of us have shrunk back, but this is a season to step forward. And here's the deal. You can't slay what you secretly sympathize with. You can't defeat what you're still defending. And some of us are defending our grasshopper mentality. Oh, New Zealand, small country. You know, people are leaving New Zealand. Nothing much can happen from New Zealand. We can never do that. No, there's a small mindset. But how many know we've got the creator of the universe living on the inside of us? And you can't conquer what you keep calling not that bad. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, that anxiety, it's not that bad. You know, that stress, that secret sin, that bitterness. Here's the deal. If you don't face it, it will feed on your delay. Stop playing with it. Stop playing with it. Stop feeding what you're supposed to be fighting. You can't conquer what you're comfortable avoiding, which brings me to number two. If we're to run towards it, anybody getting anything from this? All right, yeah, we're going straight with this. Okay, number two is faith has feet, not just feelings. Get this, David didn't wait to feel ready. David didn't ask Saul for another meeting. He didn't ask for another sign, another confirmation. He said, if God help me with the lion and the bear, Goliath doesn't stand a chance. Come on, how many here have problems overthinking some stuff? Yeah, you just overthink some stuff. Some of you even right now overthinking lifting your hand. It's like, we overthink everything. We don't respond in moments. I love this because this verse says, David ran quickly. Quickly, some of the things, the best things I've done is just responded in moments. David ran quickly to the battle line to meet him. He didn't weigh up the odds. He didn't work out the ratio of success versus failure. Oh, you know, I wonder if I'm going to be successful here. We need to do a risk management assessment plan to make sure that this could work. You know, shepherd boy versus giant. You know, what are my odds of winning this fight? I've got a stone. What are my odds of hitting him at the right place at the right time and knocking him down? Because if I don't knock him down, I'm in trouble. I got the stone. Have I got the right brand of slingshot? I need to make sure I've got the right brand of slingshot. I need to work out what sword he's got, you know, because how heavy is that sword? And if he has a swing at me, how much flesh is it going to cut? And we go through all these assessments, we overthink it, and we in the end do nothing. David didn't have all the answers. He didn't know exactly how it would play out, but it didn't let him stop him. He moved. Some of us right now, we're wanting direction. And God's saying, just go. Get moving. He said to Abraham, go and I'll show you the land. And some of us are going, God, I need you to show me. And then I'll go. And God says, no, that's not how it works. He says, go and I'll show. And we have this back and forth debate. And we're saying, God, I need you to show me. And in the end, God gets fed up and he goes, hey, no go, no show. Now, God can't steer a parked car. And some of us right now in our garage sitting in the driver's seat and we're praying for God for direction. And God says, get moving and I will direct you. I'll go ahead of you. See, faith is not a feeling, it's a direction. Faith is moving in the direction of what God's calling you to. And our miracle does not live in our comfort zone. It does not live in our sitting and our contemplating. It happens in our moment of motion. Faith doesn't wait for a feeling. We're called believers, not feelers. Faith moves. And you can keep asking God to move your giant, but God's saying, I'm waiting for you to move your feet. Don't wait to feel confident. Don't wait to feel ready. He says it like this, move and I'll meet you on the battlefield. So many people, it's like, oh, closed doors. Doors open for other people, but me, man, just closed door. I get closed door after closed door after closed door. And we look at, oh, door's closed. Door's closed over there. Door's closed over there. But what we don't realize is the doors in front of us are automatic doors. And as long as you stand at a distance, it remains closed. Oh, closed door, closed door, closed door. But how many know with an automatic door, at the moment you move closer to it, there's a sensor above that door. It senses your presence, or should I say the presence of God, and it flies wide open. Could it be that thing? Oh, it's a closed door. Get moving towards it. Let God go ahead of you in Jesus' name. Question is, are you praying for something that you're not moving towards? What are you praying for that you're not moving towards? Which brings me to number three. Third thing is, what you run from will rule you. We know in the story, David, he ran towards it. Another dude by the name of Jonah, he ran away. He ran from God, which is stupid, by the way. Because how can you run from God? Because wherever you run to, guess what? God's going to be there. I'm running from God. It's like that's the most stupidest thing around. I'm running from God's call. That's what Jonah did. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 3, it says, Jonah ran away from the Lord, headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Get this, David ran towards purpose. Jonah ran away. Jonah didn't want to face what God had called him to. So he ran, he avoided it. Some of us right now, we've heard God's call and we're just trying to bury that call in busyness. And we're running away from it. We're doing a Jonah. David facing it, it led to his promotion. It led to his destiny. Jonah avoiding it, he ends up boarding a ship and other people on that ship. And his disobedience ended up creating chaos in those people's world. Do you know your avoidance leaks? The boat starts sinking. It wasn't just Jonah who was affected by it. It's all those surrounded by Jonah. And sometimes we think, oh, well, it's all good. It's just me. But when you avoid stuff, guess what? If you're married, your spouse will feel it. Because you're not doing the thing that God's called you to do. You'll be unfulfilled. You'll be bored. You'll start looking for adventures in the wrong places. Your spouse will feel it. Your kids will sense it. Because you're just going through the motion. There's no life. There's no joy. Out comes frustration. You get angry where you shouldn't. It's because they sense it as well. Guess what? Your coworkers will notice it as well. Because you're just clock in, clock out. And you're thinking you're harming nobody. But avoidance leaks. And what you eventually run from will swallow you. Because avoidance doesn't bring peace. It brings turbulence. And Jonah teaches us, he teaches us, you can't outrun what you're purposed for. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I knew God's calling my life from a young age. I had to come to a point where I just go, man, I've got to surrender to this. I can put it off, I can avoid it, or I can go after it. See, in a lot of places, this isn't about fear. It's actually about responsibility. And there's things that God's calling us to. And we're putting off. And it's not because it's unclear. It's because it's uncomfortable. Notice Jonah ran and his call never changed. Because the giftings and the callings of God are without repentance. Another way of saying that is when you lose your way, God doesn't change his mind. He hasn't changed his mind. The sooner you own it, the sooner you move towards it, you're going to experience peace. See, we think we're saving time by avoiding it, but really what we're doing is we're spending peace by running from it. And avoidance is expensive. It'll cost you purpose. It'll do damage to relationships. And delayed obedience, as one person said, is disobedience dressed up as procrastination. I'm just procrastinating. Here's the deal. Yeah, you don't need more time. You need more trust. The Israelites delayed their promise for 40 years because of their avoidance. I genuinely care for you because I see many people live their whole lives, go years, not doing the thing that God's called them to do. They waste years. Here's the deal. You can't run from what you're called to carry. Yes, you can delay it. You can delay it, but you can't delete it. Which brings me to number four. Number four. Got a little bit quiet, somber in the room. Okay, number four. If we're going to run towards it, we've got to understand God meets us in motion. God moves when his people step out, not before, not after, but as they go. And some of us, we're waiting for perfection, but what God desires is willing participation. How awesome is it that God invites us into partnership? Yeah. We're into partnership with him. How many know he brings more to the partnership than we do? You know, he brings so much more than we do. And what he wants is our willing participation. But what we're doing, I need to make sure it's all perfect first. And the perfection in us, you know, delays it. But God doesn't, get this, God didn't guide David Stone while he was thinking. He didn't guide David Stone while he was talking. He guided it while David was running. Get this, David ran, here's how it worked, and God guided the stone. It's like, you swing, and God guides it. I wish it was true of my golf game. I swing, and God guides it. Not true of my golf game. But when it comes to purpose, see, it's like, you move, God will multiply it. You got to give God something to work with. You got to present your five loaves and your two fish. You got to do that. I really believe the church is entering into a season of multiplication in Jesus' name. Not just addition, multiplication. Some years ago, one of our staff members was praying. She was praying so passionately. She goes, God, we don't pray for one plus one. We pray for one times one. I had to stop her right there. Because if you haven't worked out, one times one is actually less than one plus one, and we want increase, not decrease. But I really believe the spirit of multiplication is about to hit the church. But we're going to present our five loaves and two fish. In fact, I had recently I had the pleasure of interviewing Dallas Jenkins, the founder, the producer of The Chosen. Anybody watch The Chosen? Just a great series. They didn't know whether they have enough funding to make season two. They just had enough, but they got moving, and now only have they been able to produce season two. But when I was interviewing him, he was filming season six. He was going from Judas to the crucifixion, and he was a bit of an emotional mess that day because he just filmed an incredible scene. And I said to him, I said, are you surprised at how far and wide this has gone? Because season five, it hit secular media. And it's gone many different nations, you know, millions and millions of views, people getting saved. The testimonies are phenomenal. And I said, are you surprised by that? And he goes, nah, not really. I don't really focus on it. He goes, I just focus on my five and two. My five loaves every day. I've got something to offer God. I present my five and two. In fact, the name of his production company is Five and Two. 5 and 2, and he goes, God can do with it what he wants, but I'm just going to take responsibility for what's in my hand. See, if I move, I present it to God, God will multiply it. How many know the power was never in the slingshot? I was, what brand of slingshot did he have? I need that slingshot. I need that type. It was never in his slingshot. It was in his obedience. And our job is obedience. His is the outcome. Which brings me to number 5, last one, is, and this is where I feel, what I feel like God's doing right now in the world. Because there are Davids stepping up, people of courage. And if you're to run towards it, you've got to recognize that your courage is the catalyst for the crowd. Your courage is the catalyst for the crowd. 1 Samuel 17, 50. Let's just pick up these few verses. It says, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from his sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Question is, whose sword was used to cut off Goliath's head? Goliath's own sword. I really feel like the enemy's overplayed his hand in so many areas. And the weapon that was formed, is being formed against the church, is actually going to be used to defeat the enemy. Haman got hung on his own gallows. You understand the story, his story of Esther. I believe the enemy's overplayed his hand in so many different spaces. But listen to this next part. It says, when the Philistines, the rest of the Philistines, saw that Goliath, their hero, was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel, then these are the guys who've been coming to the battlefield dressed as soldiers every day, but going home in fear. 40 days dressed, going home in fear. Come to church on Sunday, get encouraged, bold, come Monday, can't face the first obstacle. Come on, God's anointed you to conquer. God wants you to defeat that thing. You've been tolerating it. It says, then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines. They surged forward with it. I believe there's a surging forward. When David stepped up, what happened is everybody else stepped in. That's how it works in our world today. When one person steps up, other people suddenly get brave, courage, and they step into that place. That's how it works in your home. That's how things get done around the house. Anybody have problems with cups, dirty cups and plates being left around the place? Yeah, anybody have a problem with that? It's just like, yeah, put your cup away, wash your own plate, put it in the dishwasher, yeah, wash it yourself. It's like, yeah, it's like I say that to my daughters over the years, put your cup away. And sometimes you don't want to bring it up because they throw it back in your face. But Dad, you left your cup out. I said in our home when they were growing up, I said, you don't have to be perfect to uphold a standard. Because imagine if nobody confronted it, nobody dealt with it. You go to the cupboard, you want a cup of tea, and there'll be no clean cups in the cupboard. They'll just be all over the house because everybody's doing. But somebody's got to say something. And when somebody says, no, we're not going to live that way. We're not going to tolerate that. We're going to wash our plates. You use it, you wash it. Amen. Come on, I feel like this is the word for some households in this place. I feel if you just came for that today, that's going to change your life to no end. It's a, you know, we're stepping up. We're going to clean. We're not going to leave our laundry on the floor. We're going to put, somebody steps up. Other people go, okay, that's the standard. We're going to rise to it. It happens in workplaces. Yeah, gossip, people like gossiping. Yeah, but all it takes is one person to say, hey, I don't think that's fair. Talking about that person when they're not in the room. You wouldn't like that done to you. So I don't think we should do it to them. One person steps up, everybody goes, yeah, you're right there. We shouldn't do that. Maybe we should cut out that chatter. Maybe we should talk to the person if we've got an issue. One person steps up. It happens in friend groups. You know, when conversations go downhill, you know those conversations that go down there, and somebody says, hey, that's not appropriate, dude, man. Just Just watch your language, or hey, you've had enough to drink. That's enough. You had enough. It just takes one person in that place. In a church, you know, it takes one person just to step up and say, hey, I'm going to get involved. It's amazing how they can be the catalyst for the crowd. I'm going to lead a small group, connect group, life group, whatever you call them. I'm going to step into that space, and other people go, oh, if they can do it, I can do it. But while we've been sitting back, thinking about it, contemplating it, and never actioning it, nothing moves forward. Oh, I've thought about serving. No, but when one person steps up, others step in. See, get this, when David dropped Goliath, everybody else got brave. His courage had a ripple effect. And I want to say, your victory over fear, your victory over addiction, over hopelessness, over insecurity, it will inspire others. That's why you need to defeat it. Some of us right now, we're going, oh, I'll get around to it. But your kids are watching. Don't let your kids face the giants that you were called to destroy. See, this is so much bigger than you. It's so much bigger than me right now. It's about future generations. And when one person steps up, other people step in. Your courage is contagious. Your courage, your faith is a catalyst to people's destinies. I love one young one boy in our church. His name's Dux. And he got saved. He 18 months saved. He said, I'm going to step up in my high school. Goes to a high school of 2,000 kids. He said, I'm going to pray by the gate of our high school. It's what we encourage our teenagers to do. Wake up once a week, 1 hour earlier, and go pray outside the gate of their high school. He started praying outside the gate of his high school. He ended up getting 90 kids praying outside the gate of the high school. The principal called him into the office. Yeah, give God a clap of praise. The principal called him into the office and goes, hey, you know those kids you're gathering? It's causing traffic problems. It's causing traffic. Can you do it somewhere else? You know, we really appreciate you doing it. But it sparks something. I love, you know, my youngest daughter, year 9, junior at high school. She decides to run a pizza lunch. We encourage kids to run pizza lunches. Now, normally we say seniors, year 12. Yeah, you run it. Year 12, year 11. But not a junior. Yeah, junior. But my daughter said, Dad, I've got to run this pizza lunch. We say, we provide the pizza. We want you to share your testimony. And then we want you to invite them to youth. She said, I'm going to do it. First year at high school, she did it. She put it in the notices. People showed up, packed out a classroom. 56. In the lead up to that day, I've got to confess, I was more nervous for her than she was actually nervous. I was going, God, let it work. I don't want to see my daughter disappointed. You know, she stepped out in faith. She said, Dad, I prayed and fasted into this. I want to see my high school change. She ran this pizza lunch, saw 56 kids come out, saw 30 got on a bus to a youth event, and saw 16 give their hearts to Jesus. See, when one person steps up, other people step in. Come on, you got to overcome that fear, that shame, that regret. Maybe it's a conversation you need to have. Maybe it's a commitment you need to make. Or maybe it's just a decision you've been delaying. But whatever it is, come on, run towards it today. Run towards that feeling. Run towards healing. Run towards influence. Run towards restoration. And my prayer today is that God will give you the clarity to see. He'll give you the courage to move. And that God will meet you on the battlefield. Come on, here to testify. God is faithful. Some of us, oh, well, God, you can come and get me. God's not going to kick the door down and force you to do what you don't want to do. He awaits an invitation. And I feel in the Holy Spirit right now, there's stuff going off in people's hearts. Holy Spirit's been identifying areas in people's life. You know it in here. You can try and suppress it and go, oh, man, I'm just looking forward to morning tea. But I believe in this place, this is a run towards it moment because the enemy's mocked you long enough. Come on, for 40 days, he's taunted you. He's tried to make it look like you could never do it. But I believe God is going to release something supernatural. Come on, something is supernatural that's beyond what we've ever seen before. Come on, how many can believe that today? But you've got to run towards it. How about standing to your feet where you are right now? I'm going to make this...